The Treasurer, Wayne Swan, has been arguing against the need for an interest rate rise. He says if one-off price spikes caused by the recent spate of floods and Cyclone Yasi are removed from the equation, inflation remains very low. But the opposition argues that the government is out of touch. It says not all price rises are disaster-related, and the government shouldn't add to the cost of living pressures via a carbon tax. From Canberra, Alexandra Kirk reports.
The Treasurer, Wayne Swan's at pains to point out he understands the everyday pressures of life.
Many Australians are doing it tough. Banana prices rose 100% in the March quarter at the supermarket checkout. But it's not just been bananas. It's been a whole range of veg as well, cauliflowers, broccoli, lettuce, pumpkins and potatoes.
He sent a veiled message to the Reserve Bank about the need, or lack thereof, for an official interest rate hike.
Underlying inflation demonstrates that when you do strip out the spike that's been caused by the disasters, it is still around its lowest level in a decade.
The Treasurer stopped short of commenting on the capacity of households to cope with another rate rise.
But I would just draw your attention to some remarks made by the Governor when he was talking about temporary spikes in prices. And he made the point that when there are temporary spikes, they tend to look through those temporary spikes and they tend to look at what the longer term outlook is.
For Shadow Treasurer Joe Hockey, today's inflation statistics paint a different picture, arguing significant price rises in a range of goods, fuel, pharmaceuticals, education and power, have nothing to do with natural disasters.
This is a Treasurer that is out of touch. You do not make life easier for Australian households by being indifferent to what they actually have to pay at the supermarket and being indifferent to their future challenges by imposing a new tax on carbon.
The Coalition spokesman on regional development, Barnaby Joyce, blames Labor for the big jump in power prices, arguing government policy hasn't encouraged any growth in cheap and effective baseload power.
One of the most basic necessities of life, the greatest reflection of our standard of living, is the price of power. I remember that a very salient time for me was having a discussion with my mother-in-law and talking about the carbon price and her quietly sitting back and sort of in a disdainful way, which I think reflects the disgust held by so many in the community. She said, look, you know, in winter in the New England, when she's working on mills and wheels, it's at times very easy to find out where the pensioner is because you will find them in bed because that is the only place they can afford to stay warm. So they're not there because they're sick, they're there because they're cold. And I find that disgusting that would be happening in my nation now. We're the nation that supplies coal to the world, yet we can't afford to look after our own. And another reflection on that is the people of South Korea managed to deliver power to their people at 30% cheaper than what we can deliver to ours, yet they're doing it with our coal after a journey of, I suppose, around about 10,000 kilometres.
Tony Abbott's marked the one-year anniversary of Kevin Rudd dumping his emissions trading scheme, taking his anti-carbon tax campaign to a steel manufacturing plant in Whyalla in South Australia, accompanied by Liberal Senator Simon Birmingham.
You can't have a modern economy without steel, and you can't produce steel without very large use of energy and without large emissions of carbon dioxide. As the Australian Workers' Union rightly pointed out a week or so back, Whyalla will be wiped off the map by Julia Gillard's carbon tax.
The challenge is to Julia Gillard. Come to Whyalla, come here to One Steel and front the workers in this plant. Front them and discuss the impact of the carbon tax.
The Treasurer insists jobs are at the forefront of government deliberations on a carbon tax. More jobs and better quality jobs.
The fact is, if we're going to keep our economy prosperous, we have to make the transition to a lower carbon economy. Everybody accepts that. And in making that transition, there will be transitional issues, and there will be issues to deal with, to do with particular sectors through which we'll work with workers, unions, and employers. And for anyone to say that this transition doesn't have to happen, or can be put in a too hard basket, or should be delayed, what they're really saying is that they've given up on jobs.
The Treasurer, Wayne Swan, ending Alexandra Kirk's report.